Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And Dr. Umat has the show off today. She has the weekend off enjoying a Husky football game.
Right.
What a great day for it. Dr. Jerry Mixon here in the studio. Hi there, I'm Lynette. And we have a phone number that if you call right now, we'll get you right in the queue for your questions here on Leading Edge Medicine. We are live on this Labor Day Saturday. Here's the number. It's 206-425-5757. And we are headed to Carnation. Ray is on the line. Hi there, Ray. Good morning.
Hello, Ray.
Hey, good morning. Hey, Dr. Mixon, I'm wondering if you'd be willing to stick your toe in the water on this political issue with mental acuity and our leaders.
Okay.
You know, Biden got lost again, had to ask where he was going. He's falling down on bicycles and coming down the stairs. Mitch McConnell's having these problems. Dianne Feinstein is nowhere to be found. Nancy Pelosi's up there. And I'm just kind of wondering, like with Mitch McConnell, what's going on with this? Are these guys fit to lead our country?
No.
No.
I love...
I agree.
I think it was Nikki Haley who said that the Senate is the most expensive nursing home
in
America.
Yes, I just read that yesterday. The most expensive nursing home, yes.
Yeah, and she's true. Mm-hmm. It's true. No, we have a large number of people that are mentally incompetent in Congress and running our governments. And it's sad, but the people get the government they deserve because they keep electing them.
Yes.
You know, and if you elect a feeble old fart for office, you get a feeble old fart in office. I mean, what can I tell you?
Well, what would you say was going on with Mitch McConnell? I mean, I don't trust their doctors. They'll go to the doctor and they'll say, oh, he's all fine. But, you know, did he have a stroke, a mini stroke, a stroke? I mean, how does a person's brain just freeze like that?
Well, it could be several things.
Any hypothesis?
Yeah, well, yeah, when I saw that happen, three things popped into my mind. Okay. One is an absent seizure. Temporal lobe seizures, we call them absent seizures, in which the people, they're just not there for some period of time. It can last anywhere from a few seconds to several minutes. And, you know, he's old. His brain's been used. It could have been a seizure. I don't know what medicines he's on. You know, he may have been diagnosed as temporal lobe seizures some time ago. I don't know. He could have had a TIA, a little transient ischemic attack where a little clot flipped off and shut down blood supply to part of his brain for a moment. He could have had atrial fibrillation, which decreases cardiac output by 15 to 20%. Well, now if a young person drops their heart output by 20%, it's not a big deal, but he's 80. And the blood supply to his brain is poor to start with. And so if he's got narrowed arteries in his carotids and then his heart went into a poor rhythm and dropped his blood supply, that could have been it. Although more likely I'd have expected him to get dizzy or fall down. But
right.
Possible. So
Well, thank you.
A lot of things can be happening, but the reality is we got a bunch of really old people that are demonstrably incompetent. I mean, come on. No, I doubt if 10% of the American population honestly believes that Joe Biden is running the country. Joe Biden is taking instructions from the people that are actually running our country that we did not elect. Because Joe Biden doesn't know who and where he is half the time.
Yes, I'm wondering if he knows he's in Florida right now.
Yeah.
I believe that too.
Yeah.
Well, he keeps telling us, you know, that Kamala Harris is president. He refers to her as President Harris.
Right.
You know, he doesn't know what state he's in. He turns around and shakes hands with people that aren't there.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly this man's mental competence has to be seriously questioned. But once more, he got elected. And whether honestly or not, and I'm not in a position to weigh in firmly on that, I saw enough strange things happening in that 2020 election that raised questions in my mind, but I don't have proof that anything nefarious was happening. But I have to question it. But, you know, I look at places like Seattle and Portland, Oregon, and San Francisco. You look at these places that are total disasters, and you have to say one of two things have got to be true. Either the elections in these cities are dishonest, or the voters are crazy. Because sane people would not vote for this. But I don't know if
they don't get the real news.
Yeah, I don't know if the citizens of Seattle are crazy or if the elections are dishonest. And it's got to be one or the other. I just don't know which.
Or a little both.
Yeah.
Hey, a quick question on COVID. Did you see that article that study that mRNA vaccines weaken their immune response in children? It was a study in Frontier Immunology that came out a couple days ago.
Yes, I did see it. Yeah.
Can you comment on that?
It's an interesting study. You know, I have not yet had a chance to go back and look at the source data. I will as it becomes available. But in medicine, we do a couple of things, okay? We almost never put all of our weight in any one study. What we look at is the preponderance of the evidence.
Correct.
And so it usually takes several studies. We're looking to see, are all the studies congruent? Are they all equally done? Are they all equally sized? How are they powered? So I don't get too excited by any one, but frequently I see one like that that raises my eyebrows, and I say, I want to keep an eye on this. Reality is, though, we know that COVID, the disease, and the vaccines have many of the same side effects. It would appear that the side effects from the vaccines, while they're very similar to the actual infection, are less common and less severe, but they happen, you know. But every vaccine has adverse effects, and coronaviruses do have a neurological impact and they have an immune system impact. So am I in more danger from the vaccine? Am I in more danger from the virus? And if so, which version of the vaccine and which version of the virus? Because the virus is mutating rapidly and the vaccines change to go with the new mutations. And so we aren't looking at the same thing over time either.
Yeah, but we're talking about kids here. I mean,
I understand.
You just said kids, earlier in this show or the other show that young people aren't really, you know, at a high risk at this. And here we are injecting them with these vaccines that alters the cytokine responses.
Yeah, and I'm opposed to it. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it was appropriate to vaccinate the children. But the legislators have said your kid cannot go to school unless they have been vaccinated. And so that's a matter of law. Do you want your child to go to school? Do you want your grandchildren to learn to read, write, and do math? Or do you want them to stay home? when they make it a law that you got to vaccinate them to go to school, most people are going to send their kid to school.
Right. Well, you know, I work in the public system, and we're facing a crisis in Marysville, in the North Shore School District, financially, school districts all around the state mm-hmm. and the country.
Yeah.
Because parents are pulling their kids out because yep. they don't want them to get these darn vaccinations. Among some of the transgender ideology and perversion is getting pushed on them. Mm-hmm. And it is, but I don't know. With all the myopericarditis, I don't know if I pronounced that right, that's happening among young male teenagers, it's pretty scary.
Yes, it is.
I agree.
And to have to mandatorily give your kid his vaccine and hope that he's not the... or she's not the 1% that has an adverse effect.
Yeah. Well, it's lower than 1%, thank heavens. But yes, it is a small fraction. But if it happens, it happens to 100% of you. You know? And so, yeah. I mean, if it's 1 in 10,000 and it happens to you, you got 100% of the whack. So, yeah, I'm not thrilled about politicians making medical decisions because they don't know. They don't know what they're doing most of the time.
I came into that.
So.
Okay, well, thank you so much, and you all have a nice Labor Day.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for that, Ray. We will be back with more of your questions and more of your calls on this live version of Leading Edge Medicine in the studio on this Labor Day weekend. Here's the number. It's 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. We'll be right back with Daniel and Bill in just a moment. You can't hide your lying eyes, and your smile is a thin disguise. I thought by Welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette with you and Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio. And this is the number to call to get through. 206-421-5757 with your questions for Dr. Mixon. We're going to stay and head over to Bellevue today.
Ooh.
Not too far away. Daniel is on the line. How can we help you, Daniel? Good morning.
Hello, Daniel.
Good morning. I'm a long-term patient since around 2009, and I plan to stay with the clinic, and I definitely appreciate all that you do and continue the Leading Edge Medicine. I really enjoy that. I've never heard you – well, anyway, I take red yeast rice for cholesterol, and mm-hmm. I was curious about Zetia.
He's a Timby. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I don't, in conjunction with red rice or instead of red yeast rice, I was curious about if rapamycin might inhibit muscle growth at all.
Okay.
Okay.
Couple of good questions.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's start with Zetia. Ezetimibe is the chemical. It's a cholesterol drug that prevents you from absorbing cholesterol from your gut as efficiently. You know, about one-third of the cholesterol in your system is from your diet. The other two-thirds is basically recycled. You use the cholesterol to make all of your steroid hormones. So your cortisols, progesterone, testosterone, estradiol, pregnenolone, progesterone, dehydroepiandrosterone, all of these are made out of cholesterol. And cholesterol metabolism is critical for brain function, muscle contractions, etc. So you use it, you break it down, you dump the byproducts into your gut, and then you reabsorb them and make new cholesterol out of it. And Zetia helps inhibit that reabsorption so that you don't bring it back in and make new cholesterol as efficiently. It can have the same side effects as any of the cholesterol medicines. If you if your cholesterols get too low, muscle pain, weakness, that sort of thing, fuzzy thinking, memory issues. So, but you know, you can basically get the same effect by just eating a lot less cholesterol. Since this one is not interfering with cholesterol metabolism, it's actually interfering with the absorption of cholesterol. If you have less cholesterol in your gut to absorb, you end up with less. Mm. So, you know, you can do it either way. You take the Zidia or you stop eating cholesterol. Cholesterol's in foods that are pretty tasty, so.
Yeah. Aww.
So I don't want to give up all my tasty foods. Anyway, so I guess, do you need more about that one or should we move on to your other questions?
So what would be too low, I guess, that would start causing muscle aches? I've never heard a number on that exactly.
Yeah, and that's because I can't give you one. And that's simply because it varies from person to person. You know, some people, when they take a cholesterol medication, get symptoms at fairly low doses. And other people can tolerate very high doses. And so, you know, I can't tell you for sure where any individual's going to not tolerate it anymore. It's just those things we watch for. That if you take your cholesterol medicine and you start getting the symptoms, then you should probably stop it. I was talking to Dr. Maiden about this. Dr. Maiden's my favorite cardiologist buddy. He was commenting on the studies too, saying that they were flawed studies when they were claiming there weren't side effects. What happens is the patient takes the drug, they get interference with their cholesterol metabolism, they get the symptoms, but then it takes about 12 weeks or so, 15 weeks, sometimes 20 weeks, for the medication to have enough effect to lower the levels that far again. Mm. So they stopped the drug, their cholesterol went up, the symptoms went away, they went back on the drug and didn't start off with the symptoms right away because the study only lasted 6 to 12 weeks. And they would have had to keep them on it for 6 months or more for the symptoms to develop, to get enough of the cholesterol interference. So the reality is, yeah, some people are going to have bad reactions to cholesterol medicines. They just are. And if you do, well, then don't take the medicine or use a much lower dose, and we'll see what else we can do to lower your cholesterol.
Okay, great. I'll have to review the podcast. That was a lot of information.
All right.
Very good.
But it seems to me there was something else besides Zidia that you were raising.
Rapamycin affecting muscles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With muscle mass.
Okay.
I take rapamycin once a week. Rapamycin has a very, very short half-life. You get a peak effect within about 15 or 20 minutes after you take the drug. And then in an hour, your levels have plummeted by like 70%. Mm. And so when you're taking it once a week, it's out of your system a lot more than it's in your system. Okay. Because it's really only in your system at measurable levels for a matter of a couple of 2 or 3 hours. But what it does is when it is in your cells, it has a profound effect on your DNA. It actually raises the histine levels in the DNA so that the DNA becomes wrapped more tightly and more stable, and you get fewer DNA methylations and fewer breaks and single point substitutions, fewer SNPs, we call them, single nucleotide substitutions. So it has a wide-ranging effect on people's health and on animals' longevity. We're still waiting to see what the impact will be on human longevity because we just have not had it around long enough and not enough people taking it long enough to really get the numbers. But it is a benign enough drug, and the fact that it works in everything from worms to dogs to mice to monkeys to civet cats, I say, yeah, it's probably working in humans too, because I've seen dramatic improvements on me when I went on rapamycin. My biggest question...
Yeah, I just heard nothing but good things about it. Yeah. Just so many things. It's pretty interesting.
Well, there are bad things, okay? Your sugar goes up and your cholesterol go up, both.
Mm-hmm.
So it will raise sugar and cholesterol consistently. And yet, despite that, it doesn't seem to interfere with longevity. Their most common side effect people notice are either skin rashes or mouth sores, a little stomatitis.
Mm-hmm.
But again, those tend to go away if you stop or drop the dose. The question we've got with rapamycin is, what dosing schedule should we use and what dose should we take? You know, we're being very cautious with this drug. Typically, we treat for effect. For instance, let's say that you're going to take Zidia. The dose of Zidia you would take would be whatever dose it took to lower your cholesterol. And you accept what side effects you need to accept unless the side effects outweigh the cholesterol.
The benefits, okay.
In rapamycin, we're taking it the opposite direction. We're saying because we're giving it to people that are otherwise normal, not really healthy, but normal because they're old, we're dosing it to avoid any side effects. And is that the smart thing? Should we be pushing the dose to get the effect we're looking for and say, how many side effects are we willing to accept? So for my patients, I'm doing the conventional way. I am dosing it so they don't get side effects. For myself, I'm willing to push the envelope a bit because I'm looking for the primary effect, which is strong, fast, lean, smart, sexy, and happy.
Those are all good things.
So I push my dose and frequency higher than I would push my patients, but then I'm a risk taker by nature. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So my oath is I don't want to harm you. I didn't say anything about taking chances with my own hide. There's two different things
there.
You're
not going to sue yourself.
No, no.
That's right. That's right. If I hurt myself, then it's my stupidity. If I hurt you, I'm a bad doctor.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
There we go.
Yeah.
Does that answer your questions, Daniel?
Very much so. I got a nagging fun question, but maybe should I just call back another time with that?
I don't know. I could use a nagging fun question.
Yeah, we could use
Come
a fun.
Give
it's
me
a holiday
fun question.
Weekend. Go for it, Daniel.
Okay. So you've mentioned, I listen to the radio show, even the podcast, and you often mention potentially going national and so forth.
Yes.
And I've also heard, I don't know if you said on the radio show, I just heard rumors, but you were talking about Texas and Florida as possible locations. I know obviously you're going to a new clinic, you got many things going on as usual,
yep.
But is that something maybe down the road, Florida and Texas or something like
yes.
that?
Yes, yeah, probably Florida instead of Texas, or maybe Tennessee and Florida. We'll see.
Oh.
I'm staying away from the big blue states with the high tax rates and all the interference in business. Okay. I mean, why would I want to put up with that garbage? So I open new businesses. I'll do it in places where they're business friendly. That just makes good business sense. Okay. I am a doctor and a businessman. I like Florida in part because I would love to have a clinic there in the winter that I just had to go as a business expense
and
spend some time
on.
With.
Yeah.
But those hellacious Florida summers, they're on their own in the summertime. But there's a lot of old folks in Florida, and there's a lot of folks that need what we do in Florida. And so it just strikes me that you got a lot of old folks, you got a lot of retired folks, you got good money, you've got a good business environment. Why wouldn't I put out aging clinics in Florida? You know, it just makes good sense to me.
Well, that's exciting. Okay, well, great information. Thank you so much, as usual.
Okay, take care, sir.
Thank you for your call, Daniel. That was a great call.
You bet.
Oh, of course, Leading Edge Medicine being brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics, and we invite you to come in. Let's measure. Let's see what's going on in your body and see what, as Dr. Mixon says, life has done to you so far. Right. Yes, we offer two free tests to get that started, a blood test and an in-body test. And you can do that by simply going to our website, lmclinic.com. or by giving us a call and asking for that scheduling of a health analysis appointment at 866-86-YOUNG. Now, of course, we have three clinics for you: Linwood, Tacoma, and our Kirkland Clinic, which will be moving to the new facilities not so far away, in about 3 weeks. We're hearing the hammers upstairs, actually, so pretty exciting. This is what you need to do, because don't you want to know what's coming up or down the road for you, what risks you are at, you may be seeing, like Alzheimer's, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, joint degeneration, and more. We can find out what's going on, and then we can point you in the right direction. We can help at Longevity, and that is why we are here. That number again to get that appointment scheduled, 866-86-YOUNG, and online at lmclinic.com. We'll be back with more of your calls in just a moment. Stay right there.
Living on love. Like an old-fashioned storybook rhyme, living on love. It sounds simple, that's what you're thinking. But love can walk through fire without blinking. It doesn't take much when you get enough. Living on love.
Yep.
Living on love.
Living on love.
There you go. Welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, Dr. Jerry Mixon here in the studio on this Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, but you know, I told all of my kids, mm-hmm. and I am trying to educate Ivory because they all ignored Daddy's advice. but that's
what kids can do, yeah.
That's what kids do. It's their life, not mine. But I told them, if life dictates that you must choose between love or money, choose love.
Choose love.
But in the real world, not the theoretical world, you are going to fall in love with someone you date. You don't date them, you don't fall in love with them because they're not in your circle.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So if you only date people that are going somewhere, then you end up with love and money. And love and money is better than having love or money.
There you go. It's Dr. Mixon's Love Minute here on Leading Edge Medicine.
You got it.
There we go.
my plan is, you know, I'm now on my ninth and final child. She's all of 11.
Done well to populate the earth, covering for several that won't be.
From a biological standpoint, you know,
you.
Adding your genome to the population is how we define success. So I am a successful man, at
you
least
have good
in that
genomes.
Aspect.
We thank you for that.
That's right. But yes, I'm thinking about what businesses do I want to start in the future. And I thought perhaps when my daughter is about 15 or 16, I'm going to open America's only existent chastity belt factory in America.
Oh, when she's...
Yeah. I may manufacture and sell chastity belts.
There you go.
I can probably get $10,000 a piece from all of the fathers.
Yeah, and the grandparents.
And the grandparents.
Yes.
And then, of course, I can get $15,000 from the boyfriend for the key.
There we go. Yeah, you charge a little bit more for him. There, teach him about business
at
the same time.
You got it. Supply and demand.
Okay.
You know, that's the way it works.
There we go. Yeah. There was an organization at our school growing up that would flock you, and that was they had like 100 of these pink flamingos, and they could – you would pay them, you know, $50 or whatever. It was a fundraising thing to go and flock someone and put all of the flamingos on the yard, and you could get flock insurance to make sure that you didn't have that happen, and then you could also pay to have them removed. So there were several ways
to make money,
and it was a fun fundraising thing. So there you go. Okay, let's go take another call, and let's go to Buckley. We've got Bill on the line. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Bill.
Good morning.
Good morning. I don't think you want to talk about flamingos or love, right? What do you want to talk about?
What's up?
No, I'll ask my question very quickly and explain why I'm asking.
Okay.
Do we know of any local dangers or concern from leeches?
No. Mm. I don't.
Okay. Well, I feel much better now. I have lived in this area for about 30 years in the foothills, where I've enjoyed summertime activities wearing shorts and just slip-on shoes and no socks. And I realized that every spring and summer I end up with itching, bleeding bites on my ankles. And after 30 years of this, I just a month ago looked down and I saw a little, looked like, crude description, a little snot booger on my ankle.
Huh.
And I brushed at it, and it didn't come loose. And finally, when I brushed at it, it fell into my hand, and I had about a half-inch long leech in my hand.
Huh. Interesting.
Now, which didn't really frighten me much, but then I put two and two together and realized that I'd had another one on the other ankle a week before.
Uh-huh.
And within 2 days, actually, literally 2 days later, I was running a fever and had flu symptoms and was scared to death.
Oh, my goodness.
And this thing had been on my ankle long enough to where, as I say, it was no more than about a half an inch long, but it bled for the rest of the day. And then the next morning, I woke up and I had about a one-inch diameter bright red welt where this thing had been hanging on my ankle.
Yeah, well, and leeches inject an anticoagulant, of course, that allows them to suck the blood. It keeps you from clotting.
Yeah.
And even after the leech is gone, that anticoagulant is still there. So
yes, and it itches, let me tell you.
Yeah, I'll bet. I had experience with leeches. When I was in Southeast Asia as a young soldier, we ran some patrols through some swamplands, and I had to wake up every morning and pick the leeches off.
Oh,
me.
Boy. Oh, boy.
As we were sleeping in the wet. So, yes, the next night I tied myself in a tree, actually, to avoid the leeches.
Yes. Wow.
What I've discovered here is that, especially in this foothills area, like in my back garden, uh-huh. And a little weekend event up in the little town of Wilkeson, I've researched them, and they are annelid worms, and they live locally on slugs. And in the spring and in the early summer, you'll find slugs in little shady, damp spots and hidden corners where I like to walk. Uh-huh. And I've warned all my neighbors, especially those with young children, that they really ought to be careful with them. But I was just concerned if there was anything beyond what I'm estimating was an immune reaction to the bites that I did get a week apart.
Yeah, probably.
So I was just concerned that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
I no longer.
I mean, this is something I've never researched. You know, so I'm not aware of anything. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just means I'm not aware of it. Because Dr. Mickman doesn't know everything.
Pretty close.
I'm pretty good with the aging process, you know. But leeches are not a normal part of the aging process.
Murder leeches.
So, well, I'm 79, and I want to keep it going. So
yes,
darn
good
right.
job.
Yeah, I mean, you and I are just picking up speed. You know, let's not quit now.
Yeah, just a very quick thanks. I was very smug with my A1C staying at about 5.5, and they were creeping up slowly. But you pointed out that at 5.7, I should start being concerned. And I that was several months ago, and I've been able to bring it back down.
Oh,
and
good.
I thank you so much.
I'll tell you, though, I don't start getting concerned at 5.7. 5.7 is an alarm going off, because that is, you now, at 5.7, you hit the diagnosis of prediabetes.
Right.
In our clinic, our goal is 5.2 or below. Right. Wow. So, yeah. So 5.2 or below is our target.
Thanks for the benchmark.
All right.
You bet, Bill.
Take care, Bill.
Thanks for the call. All right. We are going to go to break. We have time for just a couple more calls. And here is the number to get through to ask your question to Dr. Mixon. You know, I don't think we've ever had a leech question.
No.
No, that was the first time.
I've never seen a leech in Washington State.
No.
I wasn't aware they even lived up here.
Okay. Yeah, they must be somewhere. Little bitty leeches. Okay, so if you have a call or a question about anything health-related, especially aging-related, give us a call. We have a few more minutes. 206-421-5757. Hallie, we'll talk to you next, right here on Leading Edge Medicine. We're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine, taking your calls today on a Labor Day weekend, which is beautiful so far. Dr. Umat at the Huskies game
today.
She's
at the Huskies games?
Yeah.
You know, I like this song, Life is a Dance You Learn As You Go, because it is so true. You know, we start off life thinking we know it all.
Yes.
And we know so little.
At about what, 18? 17?
Yeah, you know, when you're 16 years old, your parents are really stupid.
Well, yeah, we know everything.
That's right. And the older we get, the smarter they got.
Yeah, so, it's like, wow, gosh, they knew something. Okay, we're going to head over to Seattle where the sun is shining. Hallie is on the line with us. Hi, Hallie. Thanks for
waiting. Hello, Hallie. How can we help?
Hey, Lynette and Dr. Jeremison. This is actually Dan, my girlfriend, Hallie, got cold feet.
That's okay.
Okay, Dan. Okay. How can we help Hallie?
You guys are awesome. I love the show. Dr. Aaron Mixon, you're the best. And Lynette, you always bring the great energy. So I just want to let you guys know that.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. So Hallie, basically, we're trying to get to the bottom of it. She basically has been suffering with these on and off seizures. Like they'll come from like a migraine. Her EKGs are all normal. MRIs are all normal. The doctors diagnosed her with POTS or like syncope or like MCAST. So they thought she was like allergic to dairy or gluten. So she's been trying to get to the bottom of it. She keeps getting different answers. She thankfully hasn't had like too many seizures, but she had about 5 or 6. And I actually ended up seeing one of them, or two actually, and it was pretty scary. She was out for a few minutes and came back. They did just find out that she has some myotoxins with the urine testing.
Okay.
I know you're one of the best docs in this, you know, probably best in the state. So I just wanted your opinion, if you have any suggestions for her, just trying to get some answers and see if there's any way to, you know, prevent the seizures and the migraines.
Okay. Well, a couple of things. A, I'm not a neurologist, okay? I specialize in aging. I'm pretty good at what I do, but I have a lot of interests, but I don't have expertise in all fields, and certainly seizure disorders are outside of my bailiwick. The thing you've said, though, you know, it sounds like she's had a good workup. I presume, though, it's not an EKG you meant, EEG? Electroencephalograms that they did for on her head, not on her heart?
She did both. She did one on the brain and one on the heart, so both.
Okay, all right, because you said her EKG was okay, but that's heart. So, but I was presuming they would have done EEGs. All right, good. Just want to make sure we got our test right. Okay.
Did both.
Heart and brain are totally...
Yeah. Wow. So she's getting a good workup. I mean, you know, she's not being neglected and ignored. That I'm delighted to hear that, because that's always my worry, is if you have things that are not common that the doc doesn't know about immediately, sometimes people kind of get shuffled off and say, oh, it must be your imagination sort of thing.
Mm.
And I'm always very hesitant to go there.
Right.
Mycotoxins, of course, the most common mycotoxins we come across are those from fungi. black mold is kind of famous for having people have all sorts of physical and neurological reactions to black mold. So is there any chance that you are living in a place or an environment where there may be mold growing?
Yeah, absolutely, doctor. She was in 2015 living near some mold exposure, potentially some food as well. And they did find it was the orca toxin.
Okay.
Orca toxin A. But yeah, so she may have had mold exposure in 2015. And she may have had she got in a car accident back then too. She may have had a concussion from that. So we don't know if those are the reasons she's still dealing with this, but we're just trying to find a remedy. She's seen so many doctors and, I don't know. I just feel like, I just feel bad sometimes because she's, still dealing with it, trying to get her health right. And, you know, just,
sure.
You know, like the last time she had one was on the plane and there was like a really loud crying baby and she was dehydrated and we were a little bit stressed running behind. And then she had another, but thankfully they're not crazy. I mean, they look scary, but like when she comes back, she's not like, she's pretty normal, you know, it takes a little bit, but yeah, just trying to get to the, you know, not treat the symptoms, get to the root of the problem. And, I would just love your advice or anything you suggest.
Well, the thing I'm thinking about is, okay, she had mold exposure back years ago, but now she's still having mycotoxins in her urine. Mycotoxins in the urine say that there's a fungi of some sort in her environs now, not back years ago. So, you know, I think you need to start investigating what's going on in her environment now. You know, is at work, at school, at home, in your bedroom, do you have a window that leaks? Are you getting fungus growing around the edges of the doorways? Do you have an attic crawl space? You know, I don't know if you live in a house or an apartment, but sometimes you'll get fungi growing above the ceiling and the toxins can actually seep their way down through. So
I think it's a pretty brand new house, doctor. I think it's more, I don't know. I think she had that, you know, exposure in 2015. I don't know if she's getting exposure now from like nutrition or something, but the house where she is now seems pretty solid. I don't think there's any issues. Well, but yeah, for some reason they just did test her urine test and found those mold toxin still in her body.
Well, that should not be there after 8 years. This if she's got mycotoxin in her urine now, she's getting the mycotoxin from somewhere and she's excreting it. So the question is where, and that's going to take some detective work. Mm. You know, that's an investigation.
You think it could be any type of coffee or any type of nutrition? Because she's dairy-free, gluten-free, but anything you suggest she cut out or stop?
You know, for that one, I'd say before I started cutting out foods, I'd go and do a food sensitivity panels. You know, they can test like 200 and some odd different foods in one test. So I'd get a good food sensitivity panel just to see if she's reacting to any particular food groups, and then those are the ones you'd eliminate. So,
okay, great.
Okay, that's about.
And any other anything else you would do if it was? I know if it was your patient, of course, but I'd love for her to see you. I know insurance wouldn't be covered, but yeah, anything else you suggest that to maybe get her on the right track?
No, first you got to make the diagnosis. Yeah. I mean, a therapy, you're looking basically at anti-seizure medications and stuff. But step one, find the diagnosis, find out why she's having this and treat the underlying cause. And when you find mycotoxins, you assume there's a fungus because that's what mycos means. It's from a fungus. So a fungi somewhere in her environment. And I don't know where, but even new houses, you'd be shocked at even with new construction if there can be a leak in the attic or something, or where the windows are put in. Sometimes they'll get a leak and you'll actually get fungi growing in the wall on the inside of the wall under the windows. So once more, There are people that investigate that. They actually have sensors. They come in and they're looking for moisture in the walls. You might want to have somebody come in and evaluate the house, even if it is fairly new.
I think, honestly, Doctor, they did just have someone come, so it should be good. I think it's more from the past.
All right, so they're already thinking. They're already thinking the same things I was.
Wow, yeah.
Good.
Good job, Doctor.
They did diagnose her with POTS, though. I don't know if that POTS.
Yeah.
So that she thinks that she needs, like, a ton of salt, and she actually started having a nurse come and give her, like, a liquid IV to help her hydrate. Mm-hmm. She thinks that helps, but it just seems like a lot. But, yeah, they diagnose her with POTS or MCAS, but it just, I don't know, they just don't seem to be able to help kind of get rid of any issues.
Well, okay, but you know, POTS, the postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, basically, usually when they stand up, their heart starts to race and they get lightheaded and dizzy sort of thing. It could trigger a seizure, of course. But that's the most common when people have been recumbent and then they stand.
Yet it started after the mold exposure in 2015, she said.
Okay. Well, shucky darn.
Wow.
No, I'm afraid we've kind of exhausted because, I mean, your voice sounds pretty young. I presume your girlfriend is also pretty young.
Yeah, she's 33.
Yeah, okay, so 33.
She's a kid. I have ties that old.
Wow.
All right.
What about her work? I wonder if there's something there.
You don't know. Don't know where the exposure is.
Wow.
But.
So I'm afraid. Sure, she's organizing, so she could in other people's homes.
Yes.
Could it be dust, you think, Doc?
It's possible, but again, mycotoxins, by definition, are from fungi. So if it's truly a mycotoxin, then we've got a fungus involved somewhere. That's the issue. So we got to find where. But, all right, sir.
Okay.
Well, thank you for the call.
I
really appreciate it.
I hope you get
it.
Answers, Dan. And thank
really
you for calling.
Okay, take care, sir.
No,
bye-bye.
All right. Oh, and if you didn't get through today, please try us next week. We will be back in the studio. And I believe we'll have Dr. Michael Gilbert talking about eyes along with Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat. That's next week right here on Leading Edge Medicine. Have a great rest of your Labor Day weekend. Hope you have Monday off and can get a little extra rest or get some things done or do some exciting things at the end of summer here. We'll see you next week right here on Leading Edge Medicine on behalf of Dr. Mixon and myself. I'm Lynette. We'll see you next time. Thanks.